Can you tell us about the group that you're part of, Conscience Canada?
Conscience Canada was founded in the early 1980s by people who, on religious grounds, objected to being conscripted into the military. And objection to military conscription has very old historical roots, both in Canada and elsewhere. In Canada, there's been objection to military conscription since the 1700s. And, you know, in our modern age, when so much of warfare is conducted with high-tech weapons and a large technical infrastructure, the conscription is understood to not only be people's bodies, but also people's dollars. So in the 1980s, people who were connected with church movements that were objecting to participation in the military felt that it was important for Canada to recognize not only freedom from conscription into the military in the form of a draft, but also freedom from conscription of tax dollars. And they founded this group to argue for freedom of conscience and freedom of religion in the payment of military taxes. So since that time, the group has evolved quite a bit and diversified quite a bit as well, and it's no longer people who object to contributing to the military on religious or faith-based grounds, but also people like myself who are secular and who object on political grounds or moral grounds. And the basis of the work that the group does is to raise awareness about military taxation and the ways that everyone who pays taxes is implicated in militarism, and the need for everyone to take responsibility for that and to find alternatives to militarism.
And so what is the concern with the way the military is working? Is it in terms of the military roles like the one in Afghanistan or peacekeeping or just broadly?
Well, I think every person comes to Conscience Canada with their own set of concerns. For some, it is more about freedom of religion. I think if you're asking me personally for my critique of the military, I could talk for a long time about that. I think for many people who object to militarism, there are several reasons why we object. One is the fact that the military involves killing other people as a way to solve problems. And, you know, in a very simplistic level, I think it's easy for many of us to say that that's not an acceptable solution to serious conflict, and that we need to look at other ways to do it on moral grounds, political grounds, spiritual grounds, if that is your path of faith. But also, just, it doesn't work, and certainly history has shown us many, many times that killing people doesn't lead to peace. At best, it protects, in a very fragile way, a very tense situation for a very time-limited period. So there's the simple argument that it's wrong to kill people, and it also doesn't work to kill people as a way of building peace. There's also many critiques that could be made about the way that the current approach to militarism damages the environment, that it is extremely traumatizing to soldiers and to their families, many, many other critiques that could be made about militarism, that it takes money away from childcare, healthcare, other very vital resources. You know, there's a lot that could be said about why militarism is not something that I could personally support. But the bottom line for me is that I don't think it's fair to ask someone else to go and kill a person and for me to say, well, I would never do it, but I'll pay you to do it. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's part of the motivation around objecting to my payment of military taxes, is I know that I would never agree to participate in the military myself, and so it's morally wrong for me to pay for someone else to do it.
And about peacekeeping?
Well, you know, Canada and peacekeeping is a really interesting debate. There's this image of Canada as a very peaceful nation, not involved in aggressive military engagement, that our only role of the military is to keep the peace. And if you look at the percentage of dollars of Canada's military budget that it contributes to UN peacekeeping initiatives, that's steadily declined over the years, and now it's only 10% of Canada's military budget goes towards those kind of efforts. Whether those kind of efforts are actually keeping peace or building peace is a question unto itself. You know, if you look at UN initiatives, which are the ways that peacekeeping gets tracked in the budget, many of those have been military initiatives that have involved bombing and killing people. And the former Yugoslavia is a great example of that. That was technically a peacekeeping mission for Canada. it was a military initiative. And, you know, the current engagement in Afghanistan, again, is often suggested to be peacekeeping, but I think for many people there's recognition that there's something else going on there. So, again, you know, are these kinds of initiatives where countries from around the world contribute soldiers to go into a country and to engage using weapons and using military tactics and training, is that keeping peace? Is it promoting peace? Is it doing anything for peace? That's, I think, quite questionable and quite debatable. So even if you disregard the reality that most of Canada's military budget is going to things other than UN peacekeeping initiatives, also there's this broader question of what does it mean to keep the peace? When are situations where some kind of police force might be the only alternative to genocide? And where are situations where we really have to find some other way of engaging?
Mm-hmm. Listeners to our program will be familiar with the more recent experience of what's sometimes called peacekeeping, or Canada's peacekeeping in Haiti, which has had a really disastrous effect down there. How much are Canadians paying to the military through their taxes?
Well, when you do your taxes, it's broken down into federal and provincial taxes. And so because the military is a federally run program, it's about 8% of the federal portion of your taxes. And in 2006-2007, that was $15.5 billion, which was 8.5% of Canada's overall federal budget. And that's up from in previous years because of the engagement in Afghanistan.
So can you talk about Conscience Canada's Peace Tax Fund?
Sure. The Peace Tax Trust Fund was set up as a way for people who objected to paying for war to divert the military portion of their federal taxes into an alternative fund. And this is a way to demonstrate that it is actually possible to fund something other than militarism, that it is possible to fund peace and to support nonviolent initiatives that would, we hope, have a more sustained impact in terms of building seeds, planting the seeds that lead to the real conditions that are required for peace, and maintaining peace through non-military means. And one of the things that I think is really obvious to me is I have friends in the military. They're good people. They're not homicidal nutcases who want to go out and have a big power trip. They're good people who believe that there are some terrible things that happen in the world and they need to try and do their part to stop them, much as I do politically. For me, looking at the training they've had, the equipment they have, and their mandate and mission, they're absolutely not equipped to actually do what they think they're there to do. What they're there to do is to be bored, to be stressed out, and to be in situations that are completely overwhelming and yet not be able to respond to them in a compassionate, humanitarian way, because that's not what they're there to do. What they're there to do is to be the military. And being in the military and being the military means you have a very specific range of things that you are authorized to do and that you're trained to do. You're not there to just be a human being providing a compassionate response to suffering. So for me, part of what the trust fund does is it says, I really want to support, not just politically, but I'm willing to put my money behind support of other kinds of initiatives. There's fantastic work that's being done by all sorts of organizations that I think are very effective and very promising ways to actually build peace and to keep peace in very conflict-ridden, sensitive areas. So I want to support those, not just saying it, but actually putting my money where my mouth is. And for me, that's part of what the trust fund does. But there's also this broader purpose where we are seeking a way to demand that none of our taxes go towards militarism. And the only practical way to do that is to have a fund where people who object to militarism can say all of their taxes would go into that fund, and that fund would only be used to support nonviolent government programs.
Mm-hmm. All of their military taxes, right?
Yes. Well, actually, no. In the past, it was just the military portion of taxes, but then there was a discussion among a number of groups with an investment in this particular church group saying, well, if they take the 8% of our taxes that was for the military and move it into this fund, they can take the other 92% of our taxes and use it for militarism. So the decision was actually made to put all of the taxes. That's the call at this point politically, is to create a fund that could be used to put all of the taxes of people who are objectors to military taxation into, and then all of that money would only be used for nonviolent government programs, which would include health care and education, all the other things that federal money directly or indirectly funds, but that none of our taxes could be used for the military.
And so is this what's currently happening? Are some people diverting all of their taxes into this peace tax fund, or is this what's being called for by the
from
the
government? This is what's being called for, not only by Conscience Canada, but actually a surprisingly diverse range of politicians have supported it. Within the NDP, Ben Robertson was the first one to bring the proposed legislation to the floor to be tabled, and now Bill Sixey, who is in Ben Robertson's riding, has brought it forward as well. But the legislation does propose a very specific structure around people being able to declare themselves as conscientious objectors to military taxation, that there would be a government-run trust fund that all of our taxes would go into. So that is the specific political platform that's being put forward.
Okay, and given that fund doesn't exist yet, but there is a fund that people can divert their money into, who's administering, or how's that fund being administered now, and what's going to be done with that money?
It's hosted by Conscience Canada. So Conscience Canada is responsible for the auditing and bookkeeping and the rigorous transparency around how much is in the fund and what it's being used for. And right now, it's not being used for anything, because the way it works is that at tax time every year, if you want to divert the military percentage into that trust fund, it's held in trust by Conscience Canada. And at any time, for any reason, you are allowed to withdraw your money from it. What we're envisioning for in the future is that if it was a government fund, that it would be the same thing that everyone goes through at tax time. You would just check a little box that says, I am a conscientious objector to military taxation. All of my taxes must be put in the fund that would be used only for nonviolent government programs. So you wouldn't have that option to withdraw it at a later time. But right now, because it's a nonprofit organization that sets up the fund, and because the government doesn't recognize this as a legitimate way of splitting out your taxes, there's an option for people to have their money returned to them by Conscience Canada, with or without interest, depending on what you elect for at the time that you put the money in. And in part, that's because some people do this for a number of years, divert the military portion of their taxes, and then the government comes after them and demands a repayment. And so we wanted to have a way for people in that circumstance to be able to repay the government.
Okay. If people are interested in diverting this portion of their taxes, how can they go about finding out more about doing that or about doing it?
The easiest way is through Conscience Canada's website. This year there is an electronic peace tax return, so you can do it all online. And the website for Conscience Canada is www.consciencecanada.ca.
Is the process complicated?
No, it doesn't involve anything more than making a declaration of why you want to do this. And Conscience Canada provides sort of a pre-canned form letter for people who don't want to take the time to write their own. So you can just click send. But for people who do want to take the time, I'd really encourage you to personalize that letter. That not only has more impact, but it's just good to think about why you're doing what you're doing and to make it your own in that way. And there's no additional calculations that are needed. You just do your taxes like normal, and then you go back to the line of federal tax that you've calculated already, and it is a set percentage of that, and every year the percentage changes because every year the percentage of the budget that goes to military is different. So Conscience Canada tells you each year what percentage that you would apply to your taxes. So you just take the percentage of your federal taxes, that's the amount of money that's going to the military, and that's the amount that you can divert. You can also choose to divert a symbolic portion if you don't want to pay the full 8%+. And for some people, if you have taxes deducted at source by your employer, you don't really have the option to divert any of the percentage of your taxes. You can just do the symbolic declaration that says you object to contributing to the military financially.
That's the case for me. My boss takes taxes off my paycheck, every paycheck throughout the year, so my military amount of taxation is already gone to the government by now for 2008. Is there a way... I understand I can fill out a declaration, but is there any way in future I can sort it out so that I don't have to pay?
There is a Canada Revenue Agency form that's used for people who, for whatever reason, for whatever circumstance, need their employer to take off less taxes than they normally would. But that form is set up so there are particular categories. You have to give your employer and Canada Revenue Agency a reason why you're asking them to do this. So, you know, some examples might be that you have deductions that are above the individual deduction that everyone gets. You know, you have tuition amounts, or you're caring for dependents, or you are responsible for someone with a disability, or other kinds of things where there are recognized deductions. Canada Revenue Agency doesn't say, or because you're a conscientious objector to military taxation. So it's a bit untested in that way, and I have mixed feelings about the form. I mean, people could just choose to check one of the other boxes if they want, but I think it puts both you and your employer in kind of an awkward situation because your employer is required by law to deduct money from your paycheck to pay to Canada Revenue Agency, and I think, you know, if you're being deceptive about why you're asking them to do that, it puts both you and them in a bit of a bad situation. So I think my own personal feeling is that if you work for a politically conscious employer or in a small organization, to be honest with them about why you want to do this and to see if they are willing to support that by changing the amount of tax deducted from your paycheck rather than being deceptive about it.
And if you do take this option of diverting the military portion of your taxes, what action can you expect in response, if any, from the Canadian government?
It's been quite varied, and we've been trying to figure out over the years whether there's a pattern to it, and there really doesn't seem to be a pattern. So for some people, the first step is that the government considers any money that you don't pay of the full portion of your taxes to be an amount that you owe to the government, and they charge you interest on it. So you get letters stating that you owe them this much money, and they're going to charge you interest if you don't pay by such and such date. And then you get another one 4 months later saying you still haven't paid us, you now owe us this much money, we'll continue to charge you interest, blah, blah, blah. And that can go on for years. That's all I've had for 6 years. So for some people, that's the end of it. But for other people, there is legal action pursued, and pensions have been garnished, and wages have been seized. We haven't heard of any instances of assets being seized, like if you own a house or if you own a car, where the government has forced you to sell to pay them back, but we have heard of people's wages and pensions being garnished.
I think you maybe mentioned it already, but is there a possibility to file online?
No, there isn't. So many people now submit their taxes online, but the software that you use to do that doesn't include military taxation diversion. So if you do it online, you would still have to go through the same process as if you filled out the paper forms that the government provides and do it through Conscience Canada's website.
Last fall, you had an exchange through the mail with Federal Finance Minister Jim Flaherty about he had said that you had been asking him to respect people's wishes to divert the military portion of their taxes, and he had responded that this was undemocratic. Because if everyone was allowed to decide how their taxes were spent, then wealthy people would have an unfair advantage. It'd be undemocratic in the sense that they'd be able to control what money was spent on more than other folks. Did you have a response to this?
Well, my first response was that I was so thrilled that the federal conservative government was so concerned about democracy and the impact on people living in poverty. And my second response was, what a load of hooey. And, you know, I think this is a form letter that I've received many times over from the minister, and I think it's their new response. So it's now what they're saying. Instead of, yes, we have received your inquiry and we're looking into it and we can't do it for administrative purposes, that was their response for quite a number of years. Now it's, oh, it's politically unsavory because it's undemocratic. So it's a response designed to make you feel bad. And really, I think there's many things going on behind that statement. One is the question of whether the current tax system unfairly privileges people who are wealthy, and I think already it does. There's already things built into the tax system that give you many options for having deductions applied, and you can only do them if you have enough money to be able to send your money off in various ways. So RRSPs is a great example where if you have enough money to divert some off into an RRSP, the government recognizes that as a valid reason for you to pay less tax than for someone who doesn't have that option. So already there are many things built in that make the tax system intrinsically unfair, and I think it's really bogus for a Minister of Finance to say that conscientious objection to military taxation is more unfair than any of those. The other piece is that, you know, I really question what it means when people say democracy and that what we have in Canada is democratic, and to do things a different way would be undemocratic. And to me, you know, there's two aspects. So one is the simplistic idea that democracy means majority rule, which I think has been demonstrated many times throughout history and including right now in Canada to be very detrimental to people who aren't the majority. So, for example, if you look at colonialism in Canada, I think there is absolutely no question for anyone with a political conscience that having the majority of people who are non-Indigenous decide what should be happening with Indigenous lands and Indigenous communities' rights is bogus politically and not democracy at all. It's really just quite disgusting. Certainly, as a gay man, I have strong opinions about the majority deciding what I can and can't do with my life. So to me, that's not about democracy as some great political ideal to uphold. And the other piece is that in Canada, politics don't even follow what the majority wants anyway. The way we handle that is to every few years have an election, and then after that, the parties get to do pretty much what they want with some lobbying to direct their course of action. But the military is a great example where, you know, the majority of Canadians don't support the current engagement in Afghanistan, but we're still doing it. So I think there's a lot of hypocrisy behind the position that for people to object to contributing to the military is undemocratic somehow. It does raise political questions for me, regardless of what Minister Flaherty said. You know, I've wrestled with this a lot over the years because Conscience Canada was originally set up as a group to defend freedom of conscience. And I have a struggle with that kind of individualistic approach that says that each person should decide what they do and don't support. You know, for me, there's also a collective responsibility. And abortion is the example that I wrestle the most with because I'm very strongly pro-choice. And yet I know that some people are very opposed to state-funded abortions on religious, political, and moral grounds, and some actually do consider themselves conscientious objectors to abortion and have tried to redirect the tax portion of their dollars that go towards funding healthcare. And, you know, that's a difficult one for me because I really don't agree with that position. And I think it is a really difficult balance around our individual rights and our collective responsibilities. Excuse me. So for me, there is a real question about what it means to be saying, well, I want the right to say I don't want my tax dollars to go to the military. And how far is that from people who are saying I don't want my tax dollars to go to support certain kinds of education or to support certain kinds of health care or, you know, other things that I consider really vital and necessary for everyone to support. So it is a bit of a contradiction, and I do wrestle with that every year when I do this.
As far as the kind of individual response versus collective response when thinking about this tax diversion process as a strategy or tactic, do you think it works more as a matter of kind of individual principled non-participation or more as a collective strategy to fight against violence and militarism?
Well, realistically, the number of people who are able or willing to divert the military portion of their taxes is very small. You know, we know that in Canada, more than 80% of people have their taxes deducted at source by the employer. So already that really limits the number of people who can do a diversion into the Peace Tax Trust Fund. But having said that, everyone can make the declaration of military of objection to military taxation, and I think like any letter writing or petition campaign, that has some impact politically, and it's a useful and worthwhile thing to do, and it takes about 5 minutes of your time, so why not do it? So I think that does have the potential to be another way that people can make their perspective known and can hopefully try and steer the course of Canada's politics away from military aggression. At the same time, I think, you know, for me personally, what really drives this is very personal. It's about that feeling of personal responsibility to not just take an easy political position and say, oh, yeah, killing is wrong, violence is bad, we should all be peaceful, la, 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 flowers and peace, but to actually really think about my own involvement in the military and to think about my own culpability for what the military is doing and has the mandate to do and how I need to take every means at my disposal to try and object to that and also to acknowledge my own responsibility for it. So for me, this is a small thing that can be done. There are many, many other things that also need to be done, but this is one small thing that can be done that is not labor-intensive and doesn't take a huge amount of time, and hopefully it will have some impact and be as effective as possible. But like all the political work that I do, you know, is it in and of itself going to change the course of things? I don't think so. I don't think that's how political change happens. Still, I think it's a worthwhile action, and I've done it for 6 years, so it's worthwhile enough to keep me going.
If other folks are interested in looking more into diverting the military portion of their taxes, I'd love to get you to plug Conscience Canada's website again and then touch on anything else that you haven't had the chance to talk about yet.
Sure. The website is www.consciencecanada.ca, or, of course, you can use a search engine like Google to search for Conscience Canada, and that'll bring up the website. And on that website are a number of online options. You can either just make a declaration of objection to military taxation. You can divert part or all of the military portion of your taxes. There's also a list of frequently asked questions, which has things like, how much does Canada contribute to the military? You know, how would you stop the Hitlers of this world if we didn't have the military, which I think is a really great question to ask. And there's also links to film footage. We had a video made a year ago, and people can use it for showing to, again, engage people in the discussions, because that, I think, is the really exciting piece of Conscience Canada. It's not, you know, going through a tax form is not a politically exciting thing to do, but the really exciting opportunity is the way to really raise people's awareness of how much money goes into the military and how each of us contributes to that and what the implications of that are, so that people can no longer just read the newspaper or read online about what Canada is doing and say, oh, that's really terrible, but feel separate from that, that we can understand that all of us, through our taxes, actually actively participate in this. And what does that mean? And what are some of the alternative things that we could support? Because these are questions that all of us really need to ask. It's easy to say no to violence, no to the military, but it's much, much harder to say, well, what do we happen when there is genocide or the euphemistic term ethnic cleansing? Or, I mean, how do we respond to that, really, if we're saying no military? And those are questions that I think all of us really urgently need to explore. So I hope that the tools on Conscience Canada's website help people engage, both individually and with families and in broader communities, those questions, because I think those questions are really important ones to be asking.
Thank you very much, Joshua.
Thanks for your time.